was nice, the party was pumping.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and you got it. It's Friday. Who let the dogs out? Frisky Friday. And this Friday, special guest in the studio, we have Brandy Winkleman with us this morning from A-Hope, but she brought somebody special with her, which I absolutely love, love, love.
Hey, good morning,
Brandy.
Hey, good morning. I brought Dexie with me this morning.
Dexie?
Yes, she is. She is mine now, but she was with our organization for a while, and it keeps falling on me.
I know. So there you go. Okay. All right. We'll get it fixed.
Edge of the world. But she's mine, but she came to us heartworm positive.
Aww.
So she struggled with that for a while, and I think she's rolling around in here. She's so excited.
She is the prettiest dog, kind of like a golden retriever, that golden fur, but just a sweet, sweet face, very soft energy to her. She's just very sweet.
She just stares. I love the dog stares. And you'll notice the front of her teeth are missing, too. She's got horrible kennel chew.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, so she was stuck for a long time in someone's yard. They had moved out and left her, and she tried chewing underneath the fence to get out. And
bless her heart.
Yep, so I took her in, and we tried to get her adopted out, but people overlooked her for being heartworm positive, but now she's just old and fat and has, you know, she's a great, great dog. So.
Well, she's not that fat.
She's hypothyroid, so we'll blame it. It's definitely based on that, not on me overfeeding her, even though she was kind of thin. When
Is she like a mixed breed? Because she looks like a little collie, maybe some
retriever. We got her DNA tested.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I love doing that because we get mixed breed dogs whenever my family adopts them.
Oh, cool.
So she's just rolling. It's just so funny. She is on her back just rolling around over here.
It's kind of like when they're in the snow. When we had that snow a couple weeks ago and dogs were just
Her
rolling.
Legs were way too short, so she was like poof. Poof, gone.
Oh, like a grasshopper?
Yes.
Oh, how cute.
But she's golden retriever and poodle and German shepherd mix.
Poodle? So, I didn't see that. I see the German shepherd in her face.
I think it's just her attitude is the poodle part of it. So
love
she's
it.
She's a mess. But yeah, no, she's absolutely great.
Oh, that's great. So Brandy is here representing A-Hope. So tell us about A-Hope for someone maybe that's not familiar with what y'all do.
So we are an animal advocacy and welfare organization. And we basically do anything we possibly can to keep animals with their families and their homes and keep them out of animal shelters. So that's kind of our goal. So anything that, I'm moving on. Anything that will prevent euthanasia for unnecessary reasons at local animal shelters. So that's what we do. And our goal is to keep the pets in their homes because we believe that, you know, the people are their family, just like vice versa. Mm-hmm. So the animals are the family for the people are the family for the animals, and so we believe that they should stay together. And so that's why we do things in order to prevent them from being split up, or, you know, which can include things like cat caretakers taking care of their outdoor cats. So we have the trap, neuter, return options, and then also helping people find resources, local resources, like for pet food and for spay, neuter, and such. And that's why we're building the clinic. The clinic is going to be the biggest impact, so we decided to aim for that first.
So at this time, you're not a facility like some of the other folks we have on Frisky Friday, but you are providing services and aid and raising money for research.
We definitely are. So we're right now, we just stopped our last transport, which was 2.5 hours one way every other week that we were doing. We sent almost 9,000 animals since 2017 to be fixed and vaccinated.
Oh my gosh. So explain that, the transport.
So we would hold animals overnight the night before. So every Monday night, a line of cars would drop off upwards of 60 animals.
Wow.
And then our volunteers would board them overnight, take care of them overnight, and then tuck them in, and then 4 a.m. the next morning, start loading them up into the van. They're on the road by 5. They would be at the clinic by 7:30, and then we would have them return back by 5 p.m. Tuesday night.
So you were taking animals to Panama City to be treated for spayed and neutering, and then bringing them back.
Yes, just so they had access to the low-cost options at that clinic that we're bringing here.
So you're saying you just did the last one?
Yes, we just did the last one. So every other week for the past 7 years, we've been going. And we just did the last transport because we had to stop in order for our focus to switch over to all clinic to get this clinic open as soon as possible.
So things look like I've been following on Facebook, and things look like they're going really well. So what do you see now as the opening date for the local clinic? Because it's in Santa Rosa.
It is. It is in Milton on Pine Blossom Road, 6951 Pine Blossom Road, that the clinic is on. You can see it anytime you drive by. The outsides are getting done now, all the finishing work with the county, and we are finishing up some inside things and some boring things like the septic tank and the driveway and such. So we're going to be first starting probably a few months of just taking in shelter animals to be fixed, to get them caught up, because they don't have a vet at our local shelter.
That's what they were on this week talking about that. So if there's a veterinarian that's interested, Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter is looking for a full-time veterinarian.
They are. And we plan to help them out by getting their animals taken care of first while our team is training to work together, because they are a trained team individually, but we want to make sure everybody's working together, kind of like an assembly line, doing things well, paying attention to things. And we have training where we'll be going out of town a couple weeks to go train as a team. So we want to make sure that we're really ready to open to the public whenever we're ready to take care of their animals too.
Well, it sounds expensive to open a clinic, but I would have to say I suspect that you're going to be saving a lot of money and a lot of energy not having to make those trips back and forth to Panama City. I mean, that was a huge service. How many animals?
50 to 60 every other week. So upwards of 9,000 in the past 7 years. Yeah, it's incredible. And those are public animals. Those aren't like animals that we've taken in under our organization, our foster program. These are for the general public, cats and dogs, for the past 7 years. And so it's kind of scary to stop that, because it was a service we were providing. But there are so many local transports going right now to different areas that we felt like it was a good time to go ahead and put a pause to that, because we really need all hands on deck as far as this clinic goes, because we're transferring that service from another county, five counties away,
right,
to here. And we, the more focus and financial focus and time focus that we get on this facility, the sooner it can open to the public.
Fantastic. Well, what you do is amazing. And people don't realize the importance of spaying and neutering, because really we're in an overpopulation crisis right now with animals. So there's been a lot of discussion about that recently with one of our other local shelters, and just people wanting to, because we stopped the all the time euthanasia that we've been doing. There's still some of that that happens, but it's now a small percentage by comparison. But the byproduct of that, unfortunately, is now we have this overpopulation. So the spaying and neutering is the key.
We have to stop the intake, the influx of animals. We can't just rescue our way out of it.
So. That's right. So talking with Brandy Winkleman this morning, she's the president and executive director for A-Hope, Inc. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about the new clinic and their programs. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you've got a question about spaying and neutering or the A-Hope clinic, be sure and text it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the break. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and it's Frisky Friday. Why am I playing that song? Brandy Winkleman is here with A-Hope.
I love that song. I mean, everybody loves that song.
There's a reason. There's a reason. So there's a little story. We have Dexie in the house this morning. She is beautiful. Beautiful, I guess, shepherd. Looks like shepherd.
Mutt
mix. Mutt. Sweet, 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 sweet. But there's a great story behind us. We had to play the Dexie Midnight Runners.
Yes. So that's what she was named after. So Dexie's Midnight Run was the band for Come On, Eileen. And so it was just a good one.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, her first adopter was named Eileen, but she got returned quickly because they realized she was obsessed with me, her foster. So I kept trying to
rehome her. She fell in love with her foster. And there was no way.
Yep. So that didn't work out. But I love her. She's the greatest. She's so well behaved.
Well, thank you for bringing her in. She's a beautiful, beautiful dog. Okay. But this is not necessarily dog season. My understanding, this is kitten and cat season,
we are
right?
Going to kitten cat season. And just before I forget about the clinic, I wanted to make sure that we thank Duggan Services. They're doing the majority of the finishing work inside the clinic. which is great because that's where we're at right now, financial parts of things, because we're trying to get in front of this kitten season that's coming up.
Explain what that is, because I was just telling Brandy off air that I'm a dog person. I admit it. I don't know a lot about cats. So explain what you're talking about and what this means.
So, you know, it's funny that we even say kitten season in the state of Florida. I don't feel like kittens are a season. I think that because it's warm weather that actually draws in the mating season of these animals. Mm-hmm. And so whenever it's warmer outside, that's whenever you're going to see more of these animals being born. And it's the same every year here. I know that it starts in January where you start getting lots of cats. January, February, they'll be in heat. Mm-hmm. And then February and March, you'll start going into pregnancies, and they can get pregnant as young as 4 months old. Cats can.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have around a 63-day gestation period. And so
that's fast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad humans don't have a 63 gestation
period. I know,
holy
for sure.
Cow. Wow. I did not realize that.
Those into the spring right there, that's going to be your, so it'll, you know, P1 is first stage of pregnancy. So that's like a February, March. Mm-hmm. March, April is going to be two. And then that's whenever you're going to really start seeing the kittens being born is going to be April, May, in that time frame, and it just kind of explodes because there are people who don't understand that, you know, there is an overpopulation crisis, mm-hmm. that you should be getting these animals fixed, that it doesn't matter if they're in heat or pregnant or whatever's going on, they can still get fixed.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so, you know, any veterinarian is going to do what they believe that they can do. Everybody, they all have reputations and licenses. And so offering that service, you know, is a great thing. You want to get ahead of it. Mm-hmm. And if you're struggling to support the one cat that's in front of you and they're getting pregnant, then what are you going to do whenever they have 5 to 10 babies popping out and you don't know what colors or what they might have disabilities born, or you might not be able to find homes for all of them, or what if the people who you find homes for can't afford to get them fixed?
Well, what comes to my mind is that those 5 or 10 kittens 4 months later could be having kittens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where it comes from, is that, you know, we see these animals as cute and cuddly and fun, but we don't really think about the long term of these animals. Like, mm-hmm. what if they get returned later on as adults, you know, you have to be able to take them back. If you're going to adopt them out, be responsible and be able to take them back so they always have a safety net provided for them. A lot of people don't do that. They're just mm-hmm. going to get them off their plate and move them on to somewhere else. And something that we come across a lot during this time is organizations who claim to be rescues or claim to have adoption programs or whatever. I mean, the use of that word rescue really is, it just drives me a little nuts, you know?
Explain that. Why is that?
Because a rescue organization is an organization that focuses on taking in needy animals and getting them adopted out. Mm-hmm. They are typically a nonprofit and they are run on donations, and that is their focus. And when you claim to be a rescue, what your focus is taking in needy animals and making the right decisions for them while they're in your care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not taking in pregnant animals and letting them give birth, because that's not responsible. That's the hard choices that we as animal welfare organizations have to make, getting them fixed and then getting them adopted out. And so with nonprofits, a lot of them might not be aware that they have to register with the state of Florida. They have to register as a nonprofit with the state of Florida, and they have to register with the Department of Agriculture in order to accept donations.
To be an official rescue.
Right. And so a lot of organizations aren't aware of that. Mm-hmm. And definitely a lot of people in general public who are just trying to find places to put their animals, the first person that uses that word rescue, they think, oh, they're a great place and they're going to make good decisions and they're not going to look into that organization. They're just offloading off their plate these animals that were born or that they can't take care of anymore. And so I implore people to really look into it. Don't pass animals around, because I mean, it can come right back and be the overpopulation contributor mm-hmm. down the line.
So it's important to check the credentials.
Absolutely. Check their credentials. That's easy public records in the state of Florida, sunbiz.org, and what's the one for the Department of Ag? I mean, you could probably just Google Department of mm-hmm. Agriculture and mm-hmm. then look up solicitations. But look into those organizations. Make sure that they're transparent. Make sure that they're answering questions. Make sure that you see what happens after the animals are taken in. Don't just see that they're taking in animals and donations.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see outcomes.
Right.
We want to see what the money is paying for, where these animals are ending up, what kind of people that they're ending up with. You know, being transparent is it's very important. I mean, you're part of a nonprofit organization, and you understand that transparency can get you in trouble. The more you hide, the more they have to dig at and mm-hmm. figure out. Just put it out there, you know, do
be
the
transparent.
Right thing.
Absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Brandy Winkleman this morning. She's president and executive director for AHOPE. If you've got a question for Brandy, 850-437-1620. This is Frisky Friday on Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg on Frisky Friday. AHOPE is in the house with Brandy Winkleman, their president and executive director, and her special guest, Sweet Dexie, is hanging out on the floor here.
Yes, she is. I bet if we had a microphone down there, she'd be chatting it
she'd
up.
She'd be talking you know? About you know, how great it was to be fostered by Brandy.
Yeah.
Then they tried to place her in another home, and she was not cooperating. She said, I've picked my mama, so
yeah.
There you go.
Annoyed him back.
All right, so we got a few minutes left this morning. What would you like to touch base on?
Well, you know, we were talking about kitten season a lot and getting in front of it as far as the medical side of things go and making sure you're responsible with which organizations that you're working with or trying to rehome animals through. But also the next way to help is offering to foster an animal through a legitimate organization. Like I said, check into them. But animal shelters and external organizations that are nonprofits take foster parents and typically provide all materials, all housing, everything for these animals inside your home, and your responsibility is provide them love and care and get them socialized and kind of help market them to find the perfect adopter for them. So signing up to be a foster parent now is great because they have a lot of training going on around the area right now.
Mm-hmm.
We intend to provide some training with kittens coming up as soon as we can. But getting out there and offering to foster, volunteering to open your home up if you have the time.
Well, I know for sure Pensacola Humane Society is looking for fosters, yes, as well as the Santa Rosa County Animal Shelter. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Escambia County Animal Shelter as well. Hundreds of dogs and cats looking for homes, mm-hmm, even temporary homes.
Even temporary, just to get them out of the shelter for a while.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep,
absolutely.
For sure. So some of your programs, again, you might want to touch on that a little bit in the clinic that's coming up.
Yeah, so our programs are kind of on hold right this second, hopefully for just a couple of months. So the sooner we can get the finances up, I'm told that, you know, our overhang for our building is going to cost $20,000. Our septic tank is like $12,000.
If someone wants to donate,
yes,
how can they do that?
Go to our website and you'll find on our contact page ways to contact us. But you can also email Paige at ahopedirector@gmail.com. And so that's an easy way to get through to it. Our website's there. You can Google us, Google AHOPE in Milton, and it should come up. But yeah, anyway, you can get in touch with us because the sooner that we get those finances covered, then the sooner we can open to the public and help more.
It's going to be our very own spay and neuter clinic right here,
yay,
in Pensacola, in Santa Rosa and Milton. So thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
Can't believe how many animals that you have taken and transported back and forth to get them spayed and neutered. What a great service. Hats off to all of you and everybody that's affiliated with AHOPE. That website again?
It's AHOPE, the number 4, SRC, as in Santa Rosa County.com.
All right. Thank you so much, Brandy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dexie, for being here, sweet girl.